Merhaba, everyone, and welcome back to the Turkish Breakfast Club. I'm your host, Miranda Lin. After being forced to take a corona mola last week, we are back healthy and ready for a new episode. But speaking of COVID, I hope, first of all, that everyone is staying safe out there. And secondly, the pandemic has opened up a lot of people's eyes to the possibilities of working remotely or of taking more time to travel after such an intense period locked indoors. A lot of my friends from around the world have asked me about moving to Turkey. And while I'm obviously a huge proponent of living here, it did make me think back to some of my own early struggles, moving and setting up a brand new life in a new country. One way that I've managed to feel more settled in Turkey was with the help of yabancı.com. It's a play on the Turkish word yabancı, which means foreigner or stranger. The website has a ton of helpful articles about how to feel more like a local here. Tarık Yasin is the co-founder and co-director of yabancı.com, and he took the time to share some of his own stories and secrets for getting the most out of your Turkish experience. So without further ado, let's get to it. So, Tarık, welcome to the Turkish Breakfast Club.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
So, now you are essentially the yabancıs of all yabancıs. You are the creator, founder, director of yabancı.com?
Co-founder. I have a partner from Azerbaijan named Turul, who is not here today, but shout out to him.
So, bring us back. How did you end up as a yabancı here in Turkey?
So, my mother is Turkish. She's from Istanbul. Her whole side of the family are proud Istanbul.
Does that exist? I've been told that does not actually exist.
Yes, people tell me that every time
it's
I bring it up.
Family legend.
And, yeah, I just have to believe my family at this point. So, I grew up coming here as a kid, like during the summers, and always wanted to spend more time here, discovering the city a bit, discovering my mother's culture a bit. And so when I graduated uni, I came to stay for 6 months. And that was a little over 10 years ago, so it moved, that 6 months went by, yeah.
It's a long 6 months, extended 6 months. But what was the transition like? I mean, coming to visit Turkey and Istanbul as a tourist, and then coming to live here can often be very different experiences. So were you a bit shocked when you came and actually became an Istanbul?
I think maybe there was a bit of shock. I was fortunate enough to have sort of a family network here that made the transition definitely easier. I mean, my first few months here, I lived with my grandmother who would wake me up at like 6 a.m. every morning with chai and cement and stuff.
So you got the most of local experience actually in the beginning, right into the deep end of it.
But then, yeah, as soon as it became clear that I was actually going to like try to live here and maybe build a life here of some sort, I think those, I wouldn't maybe quite call them culture shocks, but bureaucratic shocks. Kicked in pretty quickly, and then also the language barrier and building a social network, I suppose, was a bit challenging at first.
Yeah, so take me through. I mean, even though you had a good base, probably like the best possible start you could have to living in Istanbul, what were some of the initial struggles or initial culture shocks, as you said, to your life here in Istanbul?
I think at first, and it's been smoothed out a lot now, but around 10 years ago, getting a residence permit was like a proper ordeal. And that was kind of the first thing that had to happen because I haven't claimed Turkish citizenship. So getting a Turkish residence permit was important so I could stay for a year, and my work said they would do it for me at the time. I got a job teaching kindergarten English just to have a bit of extra cash. And then, of course, they didn't properly do it. Just this, like,
a work promise that didn't follow through?
One of the classic yabancı experiences for sure. And then, I moved out of my grandma shortly thereafter, and finding a place that I wanted to rent to a foreigner was another classic struggle I went through. And then I think making friends here as a yabancı with Turks is particularly challenging. And that was my, like, I had a bit of a childhood network that still kind of existed here, but yeah, I found that very challenging as well.
Was that mainly a language issue, you think, or was it also like a cultural thing?
I think a bit of both. I mean, I was coming out of college with kind of still a lot of college energy in me, and I think that might have been off-putting to other like college graduates around my age.
Turkish college energy is not the same as.
Not in the people I encountered, I would say at the time. Yeah. Partially cultural, and then I'm sure the language plays into it. It's just. Yeah, it felt like there were all these communities of longtime friends, and then to be an outsider kind of stepping in can always be a bit like, I don't know, jarring, or just doesn't feel quite right when it's happening.
Did that, was that sort of the inspiration for creating Yabanji, the website that you have now?
So the website itself was a blog. A guy named Tom Bacon was running it for like in 2012, and then he left Turkey, and so in 2013 I just continued the blog.
Okay.
And I suppose maybe the inspiration for the event side, which we started doing shortly after, was from that. But like, I always have felt like I want to befriend Turks as well as foreigners. I mean, I know it's a stereotype, but I really find it unsettling that so many people move here and then like essentially move here and make like no Turkish friends. All their friends end up being other foreigners. So it was just kind of like a way to maybe just meet locals and foreigners and like globally minded individuals.
So in the past 9 years of running this community, I think it's become, what have been some of the main challenges that you've heard from people coming and going to your events and, you know, interacting with your network? Like, what are the main struggles that people still have in these past 9 years that you've been running this?
I mean, I will give credit to the bureaucratic system of Turkey that it has significantly improved, but it's still...
That is a shocking claim, that the bureaucratic system of Turkey is now better, that's the really, credit.
It genuinely is, and the bar is incredibly low, but... yeah, I find
I shudder to think what it was like 10 years ago
it
then.
It was really horrendous 10 years ago.
Is it mainly because it was just online? It's now online and before
I think
it was...
Yeah, online, and also they've kind of like... They queue now, and there's like a line when you go to the... It used to just be like you were in a room, and
like a free-for-all.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you know how when sometimes you go to like, I don't know, a public hospital here or something, everyone's crowding around the doctor's room to go in and talk to him. It was just that, but much more crowded and people a lot more on edge. So yeah, the online shift has helped a lot. But yeah, I mean, people still move here, and like getting a residence permit is challenging. Employers always kind of like mislead employees here if they're foreign. So they think, I'm going to have a work permit, and they don't get a work permit, for example. Opening a bank account, unless you do it like in the city center, is often the teller doesn't actually know how to go through the process with you. So even things like opening a bank account are quite complicated. Finding an apartment now is an absolute nightmare. Nobody wants to rent to foreigners generally. Or if they do, it's to like extort them almost.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of just like, yeah, you come here and you're excited, but that initial hurdle is so huge to like actually get settled. But then once you manage to clear that, I think the challenges become much more like manageable. They're just like social challenges or learning the language, etc.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the learning curve of life in Turkey is super steep, where it's just everything to just get started, just like the basics, feels like it's almost impossible. Like, you're just like, why am I even trying?
I genuinely feel so much of what we do as, I mean, maybe not a blog, but even when people contact us asking for help, is we're almost like hype men. We're trying to keep them like motivated and saying like, it does get better. You just have to kind of clear this learning curve you're talking about. And yeah, it's just extremely discouraging if you come in, and especially if you come in and maybe you don't know a single person here.
Yeah, I mean, as a Turkey hype person, hype man, what is sort of your sales pitch of why people should go through all of the obstacles, the hurdles? Like, what is the, for you, after 10 years in Turkey, what do you say to say, like, this is still the place to be?
I have to remind myself that it's the place to be sometimes. Like, after this bad weather we had, I was kind of just thinking, like, what am I even doing here? And I do have that, like, it's easy to get burnt out on the city. If I leave for more than 2 weeks, though, like, I overwhelmingly miss it. I can't,
really?
I basically can't, like, visit home for more than a few weeks without really feeling homesick for Turkey. The city's obviously stunning. The Bosphorus being, like, the lifeblood of this city is just, yeah, it's amazing to look at. The food is incredible. I find the people so warm. I spent a lot of my childhood in New York City, and they're very similar, but I find that people here are, like, often very patient and warm in a way that New Yorkers are just not, and I find that very impressive for a city this big and like dense. So yeah, I think, I mean, those are pretty generic why do you like Istanbul answers, but they really are true. The people, the food, the beauty of it.
For more tips and tricks to living in Turkey, check out our previous episodes. We have lessons on language and culture from my favorite Turkish teacher, as well as stories about different personalities and communities that make up this fascinating country. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on Facebook or Instagram at The Turkish Breakfast Club.
For people who come to Istanbul and decide to stay here, you mentioned that there is, and I've noticed this myself, the sort of divide between locals and foreigners, and or like the expat community. And it, a lot of the time, I think language has something to do with it, cultural things have something to do with it. But for you, what would you recommend to like overcome that gap for someone who's newly arrived here? What are some of the strategies that they can bridge that go from a yabancı to a local, let's say?
I think the first thing is even learning just a bit of Turkish. It's astonishing how little Turkish you can know and how much praise you will receive in exchange for it. So
it does give you some false confidence, though, yeah. I think. For speaking for myself, I've coasted off the same Turkish taxi for a long time.
Yes, they're very complimentary. I think taxis are probably where I've had about half my Turkish practice.
Exactly.
Learning the language and putting in a bit of effort in that regard is very nice. Just putting yourself out there a bit. One of our most popular articles on the site is how to make friends as a foreigner in Istanbul. Mm. And like maybe you open the article thinking like it has some big secrets that didn't occur to you, but it really is just kind of learn the language. Like maybe find a hobby to do something around. Like maybe join a dance class or joining a running group, or go to a yabancı event where you might meet some people or something like this. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of onus on the individual to actually go out there and try, because it's going to be a lot harder probably in some ways than making friends wherever you're from originally. But in other ways, maybe it could be easier actually. I would not to continually plug our own events, but
please do. This is a part of the
thank you. There are sort of like, I mean, not just us, but other organizations who are doing events where the idea is it is such an international city. So in that regard, it can often almost maybe be easier if you actually do join these events to meet people and do activities together. Now my family lives in North Carolina. I went to school there and went to university there. And like when I go home, there's no sort of like meetup type thing that like I would be able to randomly join. Whereas there are all sorts of things popping up in the city that you could be a member of.
Yeah, no, when I came to Istanbul, I think it was the first time that I'd moved to a city without having school or like a natural sort of community base there. And so it was really frightening to make the whole no new friends, or like it's hard to make friends as an adult. Like I really understood that for the first time, and it was really daunting, because again, it felt like there were so many initial hurdles up to put yourself out there. Did you feel like there were things that helped you kind of push up that mental block to reach out into the city?
I think I got lucky in my initial sort of steps into Istanbul's social life that I met. Like, I was young enough to be friends with like Erasmus students, and I still had some friends from childhood and stuff, so there was a bit of that. I think what I have found to be my experience with friendship here now is kind of like, I'll have a group of friends, they could be Turkish, but they're all eventually trying to move abroad and are usually successful. Or they're foreigners and they're here for a short time and they're moving abroad. So I have all these different eras of social groups that have all left, and then I'm kind of like, oh no, I have to put in the effort again for something I know is going to be fleeting in nature. So it can be kind of like, I find that aspect of it to be somewhat, I don't know if tiring is the word, but like disheartening, I suppose.
That's a really good point. I think because Istanbul on the one hand is so international and it draws so many people from different walks of life, usually coming to do something really interesting here. But there is a certain churn in people coming through for a few years at a time now. It's not just like, a few months, but then they go on to like the next city, the next adventure.
Sure, yeah.
And I definitely, yeah, that is exhausting is a word. I mean, as someone who's here long term, have you found any tricks to feel more like rooted and connected and not get so...
So my, you know how the initial question every Obanje receives is, where are you from?
Yeah.
Or, and I mean, I think like 90% of my social interactions here start with that question.
Mm.
I've now shifted that, and I usually ask in response, but I've now shifted that question to how long are you here for?
Mm.
So that it gives me, or like, are you planning to stay in Turkey? Almost like an interview, what is your 5-year plan or whatever?
Right.
And I will lean
applying in, to be my friend.
But just it helps give me like a clear idea of like, I don't know, the potential of a friendship or whatever. And it's corny, but at least, there's some groundwork there. And if I know the person's going to stick around for a while, then... It's almost like I'm excited to like explore this opportunity to have someone who's a bit more permanent.
Looking back, when you think back on your first few years here, are there moments where you're like, oh, I wish I had done something differently, or the lessons learned?
Sure, I certainly wish I'd been more financially responsible. my first few years here were very just spend it as I receive it.
Mm-hmm.
I wound up in Jihangir for a while, and I wish maybe I had lived and spent a year in a more residential, because now for work I'm always here. We're in Taksim at the minute, and I'm almost always in the center of the city. And when I had a bit more freedom prior to this, I kind of wish I'd tried out different neighborhoods, maybe lived on the Asian side a bit more.
Mm. It's, I guess, a double-edged sword, because I also live in Taksim now, and it's nice because there are so many foreigners here, so the businesses and people around here are sort of used to dealing with Yabanja, and if they don't know a little bit of English, they're at least not surprised when, you know, you come in and start asking for funny things.
Sure.
But then, of course, you don't really get the more, like, a more neighborhoody feeling, because you're just one of many here.
And, sure.
Yeah, if you were somewhere a little bit out there, probably have to learn Turkish a lot better.
Yeah, that's right.
Practice it a lot more, and get to know probably the neighborhood a lot better, I would assume. So that's, yeah, I've often struggle with that same dilemma question of where to live.
Every now and then I'll meet a foreigner who lives like near Sabiha Gökçen or something, and they're at an event in Taksim, and I'm like, wow, that's like really far. I mean,
you've crossed continents.
It's the same city, but the city is massive, and yeah, it's just so funny how it's almost parts of it are in like entirely different worlds from each other.
I mean, do you still, 10 years on, do you still find yourself discovering things or having that same like wonder that you did when you first arrived?
I think so. I think the hardest part is for me to like get my foot out the door to actually go somewhere new. But once I'm actually in the process of doing it, I always kind of fall in love with the city. I would like to spend more time. When I first moved here, I spent a lot of time checking out galleries and museums and stuff. And how many times have you done you have a visitor and you have to do the like old Istanbul or old city guided tour?
Right. There's a well-tread little route that we all have to take.
So
it's quite nice.
It is quite nice. I got very burnt out on it for a few years, and when I would have visitors, I just kind of like tell them where to go.
Self-guided tour.
but I've recently started redoing it when people visit, and yeah. Again, I like kind of refalling for the place, and things change in small ways. It's nice to almost be here to kind of track those changes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the charm of the city is still overwhelmingly present.
I do actually quite like taking friends who are visiting for the first time around, because it does sort of, you see it through their eyes, that sort of that first time, like, wow, Hagia Sophia is really amazing. Like, yeah, it is really amazing. Wow, the Bosphorus is really shiny. Like, the fairies are really cool. Like, it does bring back the... Sometimes when I'm too jaded about life here, I'm like, oh, yeah, go back to that kind of, like, factory settings and see it again through those shiny rose glasses.
Jaded is a good word. I find myself, yeah, often being jaded about various aspects of life here until someone kind of nudges me out of it. I find I enjoy the showing people the city part, but I especially enjoy the food.
Mm, you've got a food tour.
Yeah, I love a good making someone try cockroach and not explaining it until after they've eaten it.
That seems cruel. I was like, what?
Well, I mean, within, like, knowing their dietary habits and everything, introducing manta to people is my, like, if they don't like it, then...
Oh, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, it's grounds for them finding someplace else to stay. I really don't know.
What is your favorite, when you say you have, like, your go-to little roots or go-to things that you want to show people when they come visit? Do you have any secrets you can share with us?
People, I think this is a question I get asked frequently, and I always, always disappoint them because I really don't know any hidden gem. I'm a creature, like, I go to the same bar pretty much all the time if I'm in Taksim, and I have a bar on the Asian side that I go to, and if I'm out in the evening, those are the places. Restaurants, I don't even have a particular restaurant, just kind of wander around, see something that looks good. Okay, this is a pretty obvious tip, but I'll go with restaurants that specialize in one food. If their menu is too big and there's too much variety, I don't have confidence
in it. You can't be good at all of those things.
Yeah. So just find a guy who just does pilaf, and I bet you that pilaf is going to be amazing, or just a lahmacun shop, and that lahmacun is going to be incredible.
Where are your spots, like your bar or your cafe here on the Asian side?
On the Asian side, I really love Arca Oda. Just such a good vibe, and it's been around the entire time I've been here. Mm-hmm. And I find that, like, their audience is kind of like, I don't want to say hipster, but counterculture, alternative? I don't know,
they're
like
quite cool, they're very cool.
Cool, that's... Should have just gone with cool. Yeah, they're very cool, and I kind of even just feel cool by being there, so I like that spot a lot. They have a shot called Three Monkeys, Ushmaimun, and it's extremely spicy. Ooh. So if you like spicy drinks, it's highly recommended. On this side, I've been going to Arsene Lupin for like almost 10 years, probably. They've been around for, I found out recently, 22 years.
Oh, wow.
Owner. Yeah. And yeah, it's kind of just, I like that it has two floors and you go upstairs and have some pints with friends, or go downstairs and there's live music. And
those are good tips. I'm not disappointed. Well done. So you've been here for 10 years. Now I'm going to ask you your question. Okay. What is your 5-year plan? What are you thinking in the future of, like, how long you'll be sticking around in Istanbul?
That is a good question. I have to say I've been here 10 years, and I say that I love the city very much and all of that, but there was a period, I think in 2015, where I decided I was going to move back and just, like, either go to grad school or get a boring job, and went back and lasted like maybe a month and a half before I realized I'd made a huge mistake. And after having gone through this struggle of moving all my stuff to the US, I was like, okay, gonna, like,
you're gonna be a minimalist now.
Yeah, and move back. So I think when I came back that time, I did have a sense of, okay, maybe I am actually gonna just, like, spend the rest of my life here possibly, or at least a good chunk of it. And so yeah, now going forward, I think, like, a lot of what we've done is Yabanji is a business. We do events, we do, like, some relocation stuff, and we have the publication. And all of those we've sort of informally done, and have had, like, all these pots burning at once. So I think, yeah, at the minute, my, like, immediate, at least 1 to 2 year plan is to double down on the relocation stuff, helping people move here, maybe doing a bit more work with, like, sort of a charitable component to help displaced people here.
Okay.
And that's kind of something we've always done, but I realize I've become a lot better, like, just asking people for help in this mm-hmm. regard, and people are always so willing to help you connect with people, or help you find resources to help someone. So yeah, kind of more formally doing that. And then, yes, our events recently have really, I don't know if it's a post-pandemic hysteria or something, but people have really been coming out to events recently, so I think now we're reaching a place where we can work with more professional venues, and not only does it allow us to sort of be more professional in the event we're offering, but yeah, it's just a more comfortable experience for everyone involved. So
you can level up a little bit now.
Yeah. So I'd like to see where all that goes, and then, yeah, if anyone has any ideas, I'm always looking for pitches that I'm gonna, like, that overwhelm me, but I think are good ideas.
Yeah, I mean, if people wanted to get in contact with you, like, what's the best way of reaching a Benji and contacting you?
Sure. So they could find us on social media. We're at Yabanji, which is how a foreigner would spell Yabanji.
Yeah, I have to say, I have to bone to pick with you because I did pronounce it Yabanji as you have spelled it, Yabangee, for a very long time, thinking that I was being a very like, oh, this is my Turkish. And then only later discovering that it is like the Turkish I. And in fact, the Yabanji was maybe showing that I was a Yabanja.
I've grown to just be neutral to the name, but I've never actually really liked the name that much. It's only other people being nice to me and telling me that they really like the name that has meant we've kept it. And at this point, it is probably too late to change. But
you have established it now as a Yabanji.
Yes. So we're just flying with it. And yeah, everyone is welcome to come out to our events. We list them on all our social media stuff. So if you feel like meeting people, that's a good way to do it.
Thanks again to Tariq. Yabanji.com now has more than 2,500 articles on its website, featuring practical guides and advice columns for life in Turkey. We'll be posting some links to our favorite and most helpful pages in the show notes. You can also come out to any of Yabanji's events. I'm a particular fan and frequenter of their quiz nights, which are hosted by Tariq himself. For anyone who's in the area, I highly recommend checking it out. Though I do warn you, I'm a former quiz night champion and very competitive. But until next time, wear a mask and görüşürüz.